Good morning. This is Dr. Brian Sheets. Welcome to Give It to Me Straight here on 1490 WGCH. You know, in the beginning of this show, my idea was to take the medical terms. This is a reminder. A prologue is worth saying. Take the medical terms that are very difficult for people to understand and put them in terms that we all can understand. And all I've done is, it's never condescension, it's me bringing it back to the way I had to hear it. When a medical student, anyone in any healthcare profession, hears things for the first time, they're sitting there with a pencil behind their ear, listening intently in the front row, trying to figure out what stuff means. That goes for every field. And when they say medicine is an art, I really feel I've always joked that the easy way out is for a doctor to just, you know, drither on with all the big terminology to make it easy, quick, get ready for the next patient, and, you know, maybe impress the patient with the jargon. Patients leave not knowing what happened. Hopefully they're in good shape. Most of them are. The doctors know what they're doing. But the patients don't always know what they're in for, what it meant, what happened. So that was the birth of this show, Give It to Me Straight. What I'm trying to evolve it into is the old enough about me. I'm trying to bring in other specialists that mean something to me, that I think were kindred spirits in many ways. And maybe one of the best examples of those is today, Dr. Jeff Arnell. I'm going to want him to talk at length. He wants to talk at length about the Life Chiropractic College. He graduated from there in 1991, but he's practiced for over 20 years all over Connecticut. He's serving Milford, West Haven, Woodbridge, Orange, I think is where he probably spends most of his time. And keeps himself updated. He's traveling all over the place to get the latest out there. And, you know, if it isn't cheesy to say, I like to always say he's one of those holistic doctors where we spell it W-H-O-L. It's the whole body, the whole person. And he's on there with us today, and I want you to hear from him. Dr. Arnell, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show, Doc.
More than a great pleasure. So I meant everything I said. What do you want people to know about you? How do you think people ought to be thinking about themselves? And introduce yourself the way you like.
All right, well, I'm Dr. Jeff Arnell. As you said, I've been practicing in Orange, Connecticut since 1994. Graduated Life Chiropractic College in Marietta, Georgia in 1991. I was trained feverishly by all of my instructors to view the body as a whole and to learn specifically where health comes from and how sickness and disease evolves in the body and how to not only counteract it, but hopefully prevent it. That's where my eye is on for my patients that I serve.
Sure. Preventive medicine is what all of us have to understand. You know, it's better if we don't have to fix anything.
True. The way I would view that, if I may say, is that we don't use the term preventive medicine because in chiropractic, there's nothing medicinal that's ever done.
Right.
Really the restoration of what we focus on in what we call principled chiropractic is brain-body connection.
Yes.
We're looking to reestablish full connection so that the brain's messages to the body can be maximized and optimized. That way, all of the healing messages can get through the way they were originally designed, and this certainly enables and positions all patients to heal, maximally express optimal health.
You know, it's another thing I do in my practice is it's the way my brain thinks. The first person to figure this out in me was a paleontologist of all people at the Museum of Natural History, my first big mentor. He's in his mid-70s, Dr. John Wallert in New York, Museum of Natural History. He says, Brian, you make interesting connections, and you make connections, I think, some of the ways I do. It's very important. The circuitry thing, the body tries to let us know when something's wrong, doesn't it?
It does. You know, most people find pain to be a problem. Pain is a great motivator. Pain is the greatest motivator. Pain is the one thing more often than not that will drive somebody to make an appointment at either a medical doctor's office or a chiropractor's office. In the absence of pain, why think of going? But at the end of the day, of course, as a chiropractor, I want everybody to feel great. I like to feel great. I want my family to feel great, my friends, everybody. Everybody in the world should feel great. However, the symptom of pain is the word symptom and problem are used interchangeably. when in fact they're not the same thing. A problem is the cause of the symptom.
Okay.
Now, if people spend their time, most of their time, chasing the symptom without getting to the cause of the problem, the symptom will tend to reoccur over and over again, and they will, as time goes on and more wear and tear happens in their lives, the symptoms can become more frequent, and they certainly can become more severe.
Yeah, pain's a flag. If you fold up the flag and put it in a drawer, you haven't done anything.
Right. I mean, we view pain as, you know, as a friend, because it's your body's cry for help. It's your, actually, very often, it's your body's way of stopping you from doing the things that you've already been doing that have caused problems to begin with.
That's what you and I were talking about the other day. And, you know, so again, the layman things that make sense to me is if I'm talking to somebody, not paying attention, and I reach over and touch the top of a stove instead of reach for the spoon next to the counter, my hand will yank away. That's from the pain. That's a protective mechanism. And I think one of the things you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, correct me if I'm wrong, elaborate in any case, is there are varieties of that that go on through the body that if that connection, if there's a roadblock somewhere, that's suboptimal. Isn't that right?
It's true. It's true. You know, I'll elaborate this way. Most of the world, when they view chiropractic, they're viewing it as a form of aspirin, a non-invasive aspirin. It's not something you swallow to feel better, but
right.
You go primarily for pain relief. How we view chiropractic, in principle chiropractic, we understand that everything in your body is supposed to work a certain way. As long as there is no interference to the flow of the brain's healing messages to the body, everything should work right. When things stop working right, that's a signal that to us that we need to check that nervous system to see if there's what's called a subluxation. A subluxation is to chiropractic what a cavity is to a dentist.
Okay.
We find it's a misalignment or misalignments of vertebrae that have begun to put pressure on the nerves as they exit the spine. That interferes with the connection, and when you lose connection between the brain and the body, then you start to lose function, and down the road, aches and pains and stiff and sore and tight and sometimes radiating pain. It certainly doesn't come from a lack of medicine. It comes from the inside, and the inside is what needs to be approached more so than from the outside.
That's very interesting. So what do people do? So what typically happens? What do you see a lot of and wish people could be aware?
Well, you know, in my practice, and I, you know, strongly from all my colleagues, this is pretty much everywhere, patients do not come in initially while they're feeling great. Patients tend to go to a chiropractor because they're in pain. And I tell every new patient that comes into my office that I have three goals for them. And I'm saying this in such a way that it makes sense to them that they would want the same goals, because it's pure logic. The first goal that I have for every patient, whether you ask what they come in with, typically people come in with back pain, neck pain, headaches, shoulder pains, things, you know, sciatica. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. The first goal that I have for every patient is to meet them where they're at and to help them get rid of what brought them to me. I'm sensitive to their issues, as are all of my colleagues that I meet up with at seminars and at chiropractic gatherings and meetings. We want to help people to feel better. However, we're not chasing pain. There has never been one case in any chiropractor's office in the history of chiropractic where they've ever been able to put up an x-ray on a view box and point to pain. You can't see pain on an x-ray.
That's a good point.
Right. All you can see is the causation. So by fixing the problem, not the symptom, but the problem, what we're doing is we're restoring integrity in the spine and the nervous system. And so the goal one is to get people feeling better. Goal two, once that's done, is to restore integrity to the spine and to give it as much, if not complete, realignment as was originally intended to be in there. Once the spine is as straight as it's ever going to get, based on how they came in and how old they are and what their lifestyle has been and what their hobbies are, once we do the best we can, goal three would be to encourage them to maintain it, because we wouldn't want them to get on what I refer to as the yo-yo. You know, Dr. Sheets, there are people out there that, you know, they get tired of being overweight and they finally get to the point where they lose it. And then when they lose it, they start celebrating and they gain it. And they lose it.
And they gain it. Unfortunately, I've seen that time and time again. Absolutely. So, yes, and is this another form of yo-yo, maybe even?
It's another form where they come in when it hurts and they stop when it doesn't. And it doesn't really allow the chiropractor to restore that integrity, because it takes, for as long as the subluxation, those misalignments in the spine have been there, it could take that much longer to get them to not only get back into place, but to learn to stay where they belong. Okay. And even once they're in place, life goes on. Remember, we're physical beings in a physical world. We bend, lift, sit, stand, push, pull, twist, and turn with a pull of gravity on us 16 to 18 hours a day, depending on how many hours you're awake. All of that is referred to simply as, you like to give it to me straight, wear and tear. The body wears out just like a car, just like any other physical piece of matter on the planet. And so it's very important to appreciate and have people wrap their brains around the concept and the awesome idea that once things are as good as they can be, if not perfect, that with one eye on the details, but with the other eye on the horizons, that they keep it that way and they stay off that spinal misalignment yo-yo of, oh, I feel good, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, I worked to get to this point. I'm going to do the minimum necessary to stay here.
Very interesting what you say. As I've always said, one thing reminds me of another. It's sort of a chain. You know, people joke about threads on Facebook and all that. My brain works in threads. I met, this reminds me of what you're saying. I've been in touch with a behavioral optometrist. What, a behavioral optometrist? And I thought this was someone who would look, and he deals a lot with younger folks. And I thought, oh, well, maybe they're, you know, someone who might have issues, so forth and so on, maybe slower issues in certain parts of school, go to see this fellow for certain reasons. It, not at all. The behavioral is, he says, no, Dr. Sheets, what I do is if somebody is standing looking at a computer all day, they are using their eyes differently than someone who is looking across a landscape all day, and they'll have different needs. And where you say push, pull, lift, walk the earth, I'm someone who a lot of my time is spent, okay, sure, sitting at a desk, but the physical aspect is a certain hunch that when I was in a residency in the early 90s, the late Dr. Stebbins, who just passed, one of my other mentors, had said, you know, you get to be my age, and he had the white hair when I was blonde. He said, your neck's going to bother me the way mine does, because when you bend over, you have the light there, you're doing this kind of exam. And I kind of chuckled because I was 20 anything. Here I am. 51 and a half, and I'm starting to get that stuff. So whether you're the UPS guy lifting the heavy packages, me with a funny hunch, or somebody else, you know, I don't think I knew what carpal tunnel was. Sound like some place for a traffic jam. I didn't know what that was before the computer age. So you must see, it matters what people do physically, doesn't it, when they come to see you?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I've obviously, the more physical you are in your everyday environment, the more wear, everyday life, the more wear and tear you're going to ensue. I would imagine that, you know, a hairdresser or a construction worker who's constantly using their body might have more wear and tear than, say, an accountant who's, you know, pushing a pencil all day long. However, we are, as I said before, physical beings in a physical world, and there's every form, gravity itself is causing a load on you. You know, I walk, wherever I go, I see people in the mall or in the stores or in the restaurants, and I see posture distortions that don't necessarily even hurt them. You know, there are so many things wrong with people that, with regards to their posture.
I think I'm one of those people, yes.
It happens so slow in their lives that they never saw it coming. And then when they finally realize it, and they look in the mirror, or they have a close friend or family member that says, you know, you're hunched over, you're bending this way, your head's tilted, or whatever it is, what happened was, the reason why these things happened was not because they wanted it to happen, but because, first of all, nobody taught them how to prevent it.
Right.
And
that's
so
very
important. It was neglect, but it wasn't intentional neglect. Nobody educated people.
Right.
You know, typically healthcare these days, as you know, is people don't go to the doctor until they have a symptom.
Yes.
And the symptoms, more often than not, are dealt with from the outside in the form of a pill, a potion, or a lotion.
That's very true.
You know, people take Tylenol, Aleve, Advil for headaches as if it was a deficiency of those things that caused the headache to begin
That's
with.
Right. That's right. It wasn't. Not at all. That's right.
Health is an inside-out job, not outside-in. So am I answering your question, Doc?
Or yeah, no.
Did I get off track here?
No, you're right on the button. You're right on the button. And this idea of what different people do. I remember when I was a college kid, my right shoulder bugged me, and I forget who it was, who I watched. So there it is. My right shoulder's bugging me. I was never terribly athletic. And at that time, you know, reading the school nerd, I wasn't throwing footballs or anything. I'm right-handed. But I watched a guy two seats ahead of me pull his book bag over his right shoulder and kind of make the noise I did. And I thought, that's what it is. I'm walking, gravity's yanking on me. I'm doing whatever I'm doing with the and this is before I had where I knew the shin bone connected to the next bone, you know. But that's a functional thing that was going on back then. That hasn't bothered me in years, but that was a big deal at the time. And again, it wasn't from neglect, as you say, or I just didn't know what I was doing. But it was a situation that caused. Am I right? A situation that caused very specific to me. I understand what are called Heberden's nodes. If maybe you know exactly what those are in the fingers, and that, you know, pianists, people that work with their fingers. I'm old enough to be a Rolling Stones fan. If you see in it, I think it's okay to say this. If you look at magazine pictures of Keith Richards right now at about 70, he's loaded with Heberden's nodes on his fingers.
Right.
Well, what's he been doing with his fingers for 50 years? So
exactly.
it is a wear and tear thing.
Everything is wear and tear no matter what you do. And I don't suggest to any of my patients that they live in a bubble and not experience wear and tear. I mean, you have to live your life and have fun. Whatever it is that you love to do, whether it be rock climbing, playing the piano, playing the drums, playing baseball.
Your son's a heck of a drum player. I'm going to throw that in there.
What's that?
Your son is a heck of a drum player. I'm going to throw that in there.
Thank you very much, yes.
It's fun to know.
You know you're proud of him.
Don't pretend you can't talk about it. That's a great thing. I'm a fellow dad. You know.
It's true. He's done very, very well. Much more than I ever anticipated. Thanks for mentioning that.
Sure. But it's a point. That's another.
Hopefully all you listeners will see him somewhere on a stage in the near future.
There you go. But that's a profession, too, where it's a physical thing.
Right. Everything that anybody does that they enjoy doing, they should do it. You know, you're going to eat, so what do? You floss. And you brush. You take care of the things you use. You drive. You're not going to buy a new car and leave it sit in the driveway because you don't want the oil to go bad. You know, eventually it gets to the point where you change the oil and you rotate the tires and you take. There are people out there that spend more time and money on their cars than they do their own bodies.
That's a great point.
Yeah, if people would enjoy their lives and do things, however, keep it not in the back of the mind but on the front of the mind. That they need to do something, preferably non-medicinally, with specificity towards the spine and nervous system, because that controls everything. Your brain and your spinal cord is in control of every single thing that will ever happen in your body or anybody's body for the rest of their lives until their last breath.
That's a very important point. I'm trying to talk with you, not over you. Say that a couple ways, because that's massive. Nobody understands that if they aren't in our professions.
Well, you know, listen, we are matter, are we not?
Sure.
We are physical things. Like, you know, there's a table is matter, a chair is matter, everything is matter. The one thing that separates us from other matter is that we have life in us. A fence does not have life in it. But human beings have life. That life actually stems from the brain. The brain is one of the only things in the world that is physically working without an outlet to plug into.
Absolutely right.
It is itself generating energy, and its goal, its only function, it's amazing, is to tap into every muscle, tissue, cell, and fiber of your being and animate and optimize its function for the purpose of keeping you as healthy and alive as possible. Now, what I want to add to that is that I like to say this to my patients, connection equals function. Mm-hmm. So if, for instance, I'll give you an example. If you're driving in a car and you're on the cell phone talking to somebody and you're having a nice conversation, and then one of, and you drive through a tunnel. Now all of a sudden you've lost the signal, have you not?
Sure.
Of course. So you've lost connection.
Yes.
Have you not? Right.
Absolutely.
So the loss of connection, how well is that cell phone functioning now?
Not they're paperweights then.
It's a paperweight, exactly. Well, in the spine, when you have misalignments called subluxations, you're interfering with the connection between the brain and its all its healing, wonderful messages of life, because that's what it is. It's life. It's, again, what separates you from inanimate matter.
Okay.
It's interfering with that message, sending less life to wherever that nerve goes. So even in the absence of a symptom,
what an important concept that is.
Yes, even in the absence of a symptom, you now have less life going to some part of the body.
It reminds me of electricity. It's impeded flow.
It's a short circuit.
Right.
Very well said, Doc. Very well said. Down the road, if that's left there over time, that's where sickness, disease, and infirmity is born. I want to tell you that Dorland's Medical Dictionary defines the word health like this.
Yeah, I have picked it up in years. Go ahead, sorry.
Optimal physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity.
I'm embarrassed I've never read that. That's fascinating.
I'm going to switch that around and put what I think is the second part should be the first part, which is not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So feeling well isn't enough. In order for you to be officially and technically healthy, in addition to feeling well, you have to have optimal physical well-being, and that only stems from being clear of interference, from having a fully connected body, brain to body, where all those messages are bringing that life force to all parts of you, because those messages are all designed to provide life, not sickness or death.
Well, very talk about well said. Absolutely, this what I know from my training is right. We're trying to be the body is wanting. You know, things heal, things try to heal. That's the proclivity, is for the body to fix itself. And in my field, when there's pain, there might be some reasons why an anti-inflammatory works and so forth, but a narcotic for pain is something we try to avoid in my field because these are giant band-aids. These aren't fixes at all, and I think it's a very good point you make.
Well, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. This country has the most incredible crisis care available in the world. You know, however, when you can, if the body has the ability to heal itself,
yes,
you know, there's a difference between universal intelligence, innate intelligence, and educated intelligence. There is no human being in the world that can ever become smarter than the body itself. The body makes all the drugs it needs. It makes adrenaline. It makes cortisone. It makes insulin. It makes thyroid hormone. It makes it at the right time.
Yes.
It sends it to the right place via the right vehicle in the right concentration at the right time if it's allowed to.
That's right. I know that from my field. Hormones are huge in my field. That's so true.
Exactly. So if everything, you know, to cut the fat out of this, to make it simple, if everything is working the way it's supposed to, you know, is there really any need for any addition to anything? You know, all that function just comes from within, and that's how you optimize life. And that's the other thing I want to mention is in chiropractic, you know, most, if you look at the yellow pages under chiropractors, what you're going to get is a message that it's all about pain relief. It's all about, do you have low back pain? Do you have neck pain? This pain, that pain. And it's great. Chiropractic is great for those things. Like I said, the side effect to what I do is pain relief. People feel better.
The side effect of what you do is pain relief.
Exactly. It's a side effect. When chiropractic came to be, Dr. Sheets,
yes,
when chiropractic first came to be, chiropractic, which, by the way, is a Greek word, chiropractic, practic means done by, and chiro means hand. Chiropractic means done by hand. When chiropractic came to be, it was never, the picture was never about, let me get somebody out of pain. The whole idea of chiropractic was to restore life flow in the body so that people can heal. The human body is a self-healing, self-organizing, self-metabolizing, self-everything organism. It does what it's supposed to do as long as there's no interference to that happening.
Well, Doc, I don't want to cut either one of us short in this last moment here. I just want to thank you. This has been amazing. See, I promised you the time would fly. Right? Isn't that how it works? It's, you bend over to tie your shoes and the show's over. So this, again, is Dr. Jeff Arnell, always getting to be a closer friend. Excellent, Doc. Please, you're shy. Please give me, you weren't going to do it. Give us your phone number. Tell us, tell everybody in the last moment where you are.
I'm in Orange, Connecticut. My phone number is 203-799-1234. Very easy number to remember. And I'm there for questions for anybody, whether you're near me or not.
Call them before you hurt. Thank you for listening. Dr. Brian Sheets, 1490 WGCH.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.